You're listening to Irish Sports Talk.
Hello, Notre Dame fans, and welcome to Irish Sports Talk. This is episode 398, and today is Monday, August 7th. Here to talk some more Notre Dame football camp. Randall's here as well. Randall?
Hey, only 25 more days.
I know. I'm starting to get a little anxious about how fast things are moving and trying to get everything done as far as the podcast and staying on top of things. Of course, we're going to talk about fall camp, but Randall, you had read some articles from Pro Football Focus where some Notre Dame players got some love.
Well, yeah, it's kind of surprising. Didn't expect to see some of these as highly ranked as they were, but two different stats. The most stops in run defense among the 118 Power 5 and independent safeties for 2016. Drew Tranquil was seventh on that list.
So this is not a rating that they have. This is just the most run stops by a safety.
Yeah, yeah. So he was number seven with 17. Number one was Marcus Allen from Penn State with 25.
And even this number isn't, this is not them putting their grade on it, where this isn't figuring in, I'm assuming it's not figuring in the amount of runs that were called or amount of runs that
went. How many stops they had. So, which it probably helps that Notre Dame plays Navy.
Yeah.
I'd have to go back and check see how many he had in that game, but that definitely helps.
But I do think he's going to be, and Brian Kelly mentioned him too as a guy, or not Brian Kelly, Elko mentioned when they were talking about the Rover a little bit that he's more, or pretty much, they're really happy with who they have playing that Rover position.
Well, then the other stat was wide receivers, the passer rating when targeted, and EQ is number 19th with 116.4, and Stefferson is 32nd with 109.4. So, just some interesting, if you're interested in all the stats and whatever, then...
And these are based off their grades, though, right?
Yeah, that's Pro Football Focus. They would have graded that. That's when targeted, so there was definitely some...
Which makes it really sad when we're hearing about Stefferson not getting a whole lot of love, and I think it's from his own doing.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Another thing before we go on, obviously, Ara Parseghian died since we recorded the last podcast, and I will admit I don't remember anything from when he coached football. But just all the different things you've been reading about him, there was one thing I found interesting. You know, now with all the recruiting stuff that happens nowadays, he would never visit a recruit's house. They had to come to Notre Dame. So he never went to recruit's house to try to recruit them. So that probably wouldn't work in today's day and age. Maybe if Notre Dame kept winning championships, it might be a little bit different. Another thing, he never lost consecutive regular season games in 11 years as Notre Dame's head coach.
Wow.
That's pretty impressive. And they did one of the first messages on, they said it was the first message on the new Jumbotron Notre Dame Stadium, just said Era on it. And then the players, instead of having a patch on their jersey or something, they're going to, on their helmet, right above the face mask, on top of their helmet, where it usually says Irish, it's going to say ARA, so A-R-A. So just something, I think that's kind of cool that they're doing that. And
something to go along with that. Brian Kelly was asked if it was his idea. And it wasn't his idea, but he's definitely in full support of it and excited and thinks it's a good thing. And he said that he thinks it was Jack Swarbrick who where the idea came from.
And Brian Kelly was asked, you know, how much interaction he had with him. And he went on to talk about how he tried to get Ara out onto the field or get him to come to a practice. One of his first year as a head coach at Notre Dame, and he tried to get him to come out to practice. And he basically had to beg him to come out because he didn't want to be a distraction. He didn't even want to show up. He didn't want to cause any issues. So it was just kind of interesting to see that. You can watch that. They had that video on Watch ND on YouTube. So
I would definitely follow Watch ND on YouTube. They have high quality production, and they put out quite a few videos during the football season and in the spring and fall camps. All right. One other thing. Did you watch the video where Brian Kelly was talking about how Era would write him a letter after every game?
No, I didn't see that. A note. No.
After every game, win or lose. And it definitely was last year, and I think it was from the beginning when Brian Kelly was first the head coach of Notre Dame, but he would write him a short little note. And I don't know, there's a lot of things that happen behind the scenes that we don't always hear about or know about, but that was something pretty cool. Okay, so we move on then, and before we get into going through the different positions, I did want to talk about one thing Brian Kelly said that they didn't do, and he said this a few different times, a few different ways, but he said that in the past they focused on playing talent over guys who showed the right traits, and some of those traits are different things like grit, but attention to detail has been the big thing. And he even went so far as to say that along with kind of taking blame on himself, but with the development, he talked about Andrew Trumbetti, and one of the reasons that this year is really standing out. He did talk about strength and conditioning, play department, but he said we didn't do a good job of developing him.
Yeah, and he definitely takes a chance to talk about Andrew Trumbetti whenever he can. So,
but I'm glad that he's saying this, taking ownership. I know people were really critical in the past of him throwing his players under the bus and saying it's their fault, not taking responsibility and ownership. And so I'm glad. I'd much rather be with a person that owns up to things and takes more even than is required as far as the responsibility. Takes more of the blame than less of it. So
exactly.
It's not always all his fault, but he is the head coach, and I like to see that he is taking ownership of this. And we'll talk more about when we talk about the wide receivers as far as some of the whole attention to detail versus playing guys who have talent, which Brian Kelly said is what they were doing last year. All right, let's go through the different positions then. Let's start on the defense. Starting with the defensive line, a lot of good news there. I've been saying all along that I'm not saying they'll be great, but I think that I'm very confident it will be better than last year, because the last few years, because it's just been awful.
Get much worse.
Yeah, when you're at close to the bottom, the only place to go is up. And I think they did get a really good defensive coordinator and some very solid position coaches as well. So one thing that Brian Kelly said, one big difference from the spring to now, is that there finally is a line of scrimmage. In the
That's
the
funny
offense,
to hear him say that.
The offense, pretty much, if they wanted to, they could get a push on the defensive line, and now that's different. And part of that, he said, was because of better strength and conditioning, better technique from their new defensive line coach, Mike Elston. And so I'm just excited to hear this. Even, you know, it's almost, we'll remember, you know, we lost Daniel Cage for the year. But at least there is some positive news coming out from the defensive line.
Yeah, and like we said, he just keeps gushing about Andrew Trumbetti whenever he gets a chance. And he mentioned that he's up to 263, and he looks like the guy that they recruited. And, you know, they did a poor job of developing him. A lot of people think that was the fault of Brian Van Gorder. But just everybody involved. The strength and conditioning, in my opinion, was a huge deal, because it seemed he could put on weight, but it was always the wrong kind of weight, and he didn't know how to play with that weight, and just different things. We did see it in spurts last year, close to the end of the year, when he did get some playing time. He did make some plays. I remember him standing out, and it was actually very impressive, some of the plays he did get in limited reps in the last couple games of the year. But he also has a good relationship with Mike Elston, the defensive line coach, and then also Elko. And that's always good if he gets along great with the coaches. And obviously that hasn't always been like that in the last couple of years from what we hear. So that's who he raves about the most.
From the defensive line. But, yeah, but he also mentioned some of the freshmen playing defensive tackle. Myron and Kurt separated themselves. We'll just stick with first names.
We got to learn how to say that very well because it sounds like he's going to play.
Brian Kelly said that they'll expect those two freshmen to play this fall. And Ewell is definitely behind them. I mean, he's not going to play this year. He's big and strong, but there's a very good chance he'll get some playing time here in the future, but not this year.
Called is developmental. And that's kind of different. When Ewell first committed, I mean, he was hyped up as being able to play as one of the freshmen that would be able to contribute this year. Well, it doesn't seem like that's the case now. It sounds like he's kind of out of shape, and it's kind of a weird situation because it seems like everybody's in shape, but he's one guy that isn't, along with Pete Makwa. Maybe they're rooming together. I'd have to check that out. But something's not right. They're not in the shape they should be. But, yeah, there's two freshmen that Brian Kelly said will play this year. And you can look at it two ways. You know, is the defensive line that bad that freshmen need to play, or are these guys that good? And it's probably a little bit of both, actually. I mean, these guys are very good. And, you know, there's a lot of question on the defensive line, so that helps well. But Jerry Tillery, it sounds like he was giving it his all. He still, you know, that didn't mean he won every rep, but he was actually, he wasn't taking up plays off and was doing his best, moved the line of scrimmage. And Jay Hayes is looking very good. Brian Kelly mentioned him. And all these guys are definitely looking better. I mean, from the first practice they had in pads on Saturday, defensive line did very well.
And
some of it could be the offense is still, as Brian Kelly mentioned, they are still bringing in a lot of new plays, installing the offense. And so I'm sure that factors into it as well. But like you mentioned earlier, there is a battle at the line of scrimmage. And these defensive linemen are stepping up.
The defense is also still learning things. And Brian Kelly had mentioned earlier, I think it was in the opening press conference, that they are going to be moving guys around quite a bit just so they understand what they're doing. So a guy who necessarily takes the first snap of the first team reps isn't necessarily their number one guy. They're just trying to get guys to understand and play the entire scheme.
And we finally heard some news on Khalid Kareem. I mean, he was taking reps at defensive end and was doing pretty good. So he finally, before he seemed like the forgotten man. You didn't hear much about him, good or bad. You just didn't hear about him. And then Ade Ogundeje was getting reps as well, and it seems like he's filling out to where he needs to be.
And back on Trimbetti, I was skeptical, wasn't a believer in what Brian Kelly was saying, that he's a guy that they're really happy with. But I'm continuing to hear it, and yeah, it could just be motivation for either him or some of the other defensive ends. But I am becoming more of a believer that what he's saying is true, and that he won't be a starter, but he probably will play a decent amount of reps.
Yeah.
At one of those or both of those positions, though.
And we don't mind. Dalen Hayes is going to start at the drop-in. So he kind of gets missed because it's just he's the starter, basically.
Let's move on back then. Linebackers, Niles Morgan, leadership and communication is finally becoming effective. And he even, during one of the, I believe it was the team,
the 11-on-11.
11-on-11, and they had a really bad series, gave up a touchdown, and he talked to the team, or maybe more yelled at him, but he's a guy that is taking this very serious. And Brian Kelly just went off and saying that this guy, he loves the game of football, and I think we'll definitely see evidence of that this fall.
Yeah, I think that was one of the best things I heard out of fall camp so far, is that Niles Morgan is a captain. When the defense was playing bad, he took them to the side, yelled at them, told them to get their heads in the game, and after that they came out and they played good. And that's what Notre Dame has been missing. That's one of the biggest things they have been missing. I mean,
is the leaders who are their best players.
Yeah, and that helps cover for a lot of the guys that maybe aren't going to win every rep, or you know, aren't as talented as others. You got, if you have leaders out there, that's what counts. And he's thriving in that, and it seems like the perfect scenario. But I just love to see that he's getting after it, and he can make the plays to back it up that he is the leader and the captain. I mean, that's a complaint I had before other years, just like Matthias Farley was the one we harped on the most.
And I was playing the NFL, which, again, exactly. I think evidence of how bad our defensive system in general just
In the NFL, he's not a captain that's...
No, but he had the talent to make it to the NFL.
I know.
We just never... We didn't see it often enough.
But he made mistake. He didn't... It just didn't seem like it fit his style of play, and I think a captain needs to be a guy that can back it up with his play. You're not going to listen to a guy that is going to make mistakes, and that guy isn't going to feel confident enough to come tell you when you make a mistake.
Yeah.
So, and by the way, there is an article on Matthias Farley that's floating around about him with the Indianapolis Colts and how everybody thinks he's a little bit weird or he's odd. He actually, it's a very interesting read. I'll try to retweet it or post it.
Who wrote it? Or what
Somebody
site?
From Indianapolis. Was it the Indy Star? I think it's the Indy Star. He buys his shirts from Goodwill, his shoes from Ross, but then his pants are expensive pants, like very expensive name brand pants. But just like odd stuff like that. He takes his dogs hunting, and he mentioned how he showed up, and these guys were like, "Hey, who's this guy with all the dreads and all the tattoos?" And he has this little six-month-old dog. Well, he came back, and he was dumping birds out of his pocket that he had shot. And these guys with, you know, thousands-of-dollar dogs were like, had nothing, and were yelling at their dogs because they couldn't keep up with
it. What? Are you serious?
Yeah. So everybody says he's a very interesting guy. So whenever I hear about that, it's what's that? The beer commercial, the most interesting man in the world.
Oh, yeah.
That might be Matthias Farley. So, but definitely read that article if you see it. Anyways, kind of a side note there.
On the linebackers, the Rover, Elko was asked about, should fans be as interested in this position as they are? Because fans are talking about it a lot, or at least especially in the spring when Elko was first here. And he said they should be more excited about the guys who are playing it, which I alluded to earlier. Tranquil and Bilal, he is very excited about these two guys. And I do think, with the stat you read as far as Tranquil being one of the top safeties who stopped runs, I think he's going to be effective closer to the line of scrimmage. Hopefully he won't have to be in coverage nearly as much. Although, from the practice report, he did try to take down Tony Jones Jr., and
it
didn't work. He wasn't able to take him
down. Well, I think a lot of guys have issues with Tony Jones Jr.
I think so, too.
But yeah, I think he's going to have a huge year. Drew Tranquil is going to have a huge year. He's found the position he needs to be, and he's comfortable there. And Bilal will be a good backup to him. As far as the Buck, Martini, and Coney, they're playing like they're fighting for that spot. So kind of assumed like Martini's going to get it.
I know, but I do hope Coney gets it because I think he's a better athlete.
Yeah. From what we saw from him as a freshman, when he had to step up and play, I think Martini, it's one of those things. Martini is a smarter player, and then Coney is an athlete. But they're both very, very talented. I mean, yeah. I think they'll both get playing time. They'll have to because they can't keep the one. If the one starts, they can't keep the other one off the field very long.
And then defensive backs. The safety from Navy, Gilman, Brian Kelly said they were in contact with the NCAA and they're still waiting on that. He had originally said that they expect to hear within the first few weeks of camp. Well, we're getting close to that point, and I honestly don't think this will be decided during camp. I think it'll be dragged out into the football season.
No, they'll know.
I don't think they'll know. This is what the NCAA does best.
Basically, they're down. From what he said, they're down to. They need more info from Navy and the other academies, because it's probably because their rule changes, and that's what, you know, did these guys know it? Didn't they know it?
Trust me, it will get dragged out.
Okay.
Defensive backs, though, they struggled some, but then they also had some good plays. They kind of up and down.
Sean Crawford
is a stud.
It's like I've been telling you.
Yeah.
The type of guy he is.
Well,
he was going to come back.
My worry was, would he physically be able to come back?
Yeah.
And it sounds like he is.
Well, from how he came back the first time and his determination, type of guy he is, I expected him to play like this. But he's the most explosive guy. If you wouldn't have known that he had injuries, you probably wouldn't even know. I mean, you wouldn't think about it, or you wouldn't be asking questions. He's one of the most explosive guys. And it seems like it's down to four cornerbacks. Dante Vaughn has been impressing the coaches and has been making plays. And so it's basically Julian Love, Dante Vaughn, Sean Crawford, and Nick Watkins are the guys at the cornerback. There is talk of Julian Love playing safety, but I don't like it. Let him play corner. He's a cornerback. He's doing good.
I know, but if he's a better player, then if the safeties aren't going to get done,
I know,
then switch it up. But I agree, if you have four cornerbacks and one goes down, which...
Yeah,
I don't know.
Crawford is your nickelback. Crawford's going to be your nickelback, and you can have. It's all going to depend on the formations. I mean, Julian Love could play safety. We just have to see what. You know, these guys can all come back. That's part of it too. These guys can all come back next year.
And Coleman is looking pretty good at safety. Studstill is probably going to be the backup to Coleman. But then the other side is where the biggest question mark and worry is at with Elliott. Jalen Elliott seems to be struggling a little bit, but it is still early too.
Yeah.
In
but
the camp.
Thing is, I do love. He was almost the next Sean Crawford. Like last year when he was on the field, he was the one making plays and basically knocking guys out on the hits. I mean, he is a very talented player. It'd be nice to have him and Crawford. If you'd have Love and Crawford as the cornerbacks, that could get pretty violent.
I think it might also depend who the wide receivers are. If they have a 6'5 wide receiver they're going against, then I don't think you want Crawford trying to cover him down the field.
They're not going to change that up. I don't think they're going to change that up as much because of the size. That's how it's going to be in the NFL. That's how it is in the NFL all the time. Cornerbacks are small.
Yeah, but you know how small Crawford is?
I know.
He's barely
and he's
five,
the most explosive.
He's barely 5 foot. No. But either way, all four of those guys are going to play.
Yeah.
And then the question mark right now on the defense is on with the safeties.
Yeah.
All right. I don't have anything else to talk about with on the defensive side of the ball.
Nick Coleman did have a little bit of an ankle injury. Didn't seem like it was anything too serious. Troy Pride had a hamstring. None of the injuries seem like they're that bad, but some of those guys did have a couple tweaks, and you know they probably have to be careful with that. You know, Troy Pride might be that fifth guy. You know, he is catching on, but he's a little bit behind the guy. I wonder how much the track. You always have to think about that. He also runs track. You know, if he would have more time with the football, you know, would he be up there? Or
do you know how much time that takes away from?
I don't know.
From football.
I don't know.
All right, let's talk about offense then. Quarterback Brandon Wimbush. Was it Chip Long? Yeah, Chip Long said that there's been a lot of growth just in his confidence. And reading the practice report from Matt Freeman on ISD, he pointed out that so often, or some of the players, wide receivers maybe, will do push-ups after they drop a ball. And he hasn't seen quarterbacks do that if they have a bad pass. But Brandon Wimbush is doing push-ups, or at least the practice that he saw is doing push-ups on when he does have a missed pass. So we talked about a little bit about the green jersey And maybe that was part of the things that caught the coach's eye, is that, you know, he holds himself to a high standard. He's accountable. And maybe that's one of the reasons that he was rewarded with that green jersey. But, I mean, all things just point to him being a pretty excellent quarterback. Brian Kelly said that he had some ups and downs, but Brian Kelly said it's still an installation where he feels very confident on 5 to 6 passing route patterns, or Wimbush does, but, you know, they're trying to get up to 30, and he's not there with the 30 of them.
Brian Kelly said he's not even there with all 30, so... But, I mean, he's obviously the number one guy, and he's making throws that a lot of quarterbacks can't. I mean, he's very talented, and he does make a lot of runs. I mean, he does run very well as well. And
another thing you mentioned, Miles Morgan being one of the best players, and also being a captain. Well, Wimbush isn't a captain, but he was rewarded the green jersey, and he definitely is a leader on that team.
Yeah. And with the quarterbacks, Brian Kelly also mentioned that Avery Davis, the freshman quarterback, has been doing good, has kind of stood out. And he says as a freshman, he's very commanding. Like, he can stand in front of a group and talk to them, and he commands their attention. Definitely, like, leadership type of guy. And that's good to see from a true freshman quarterback. I think that you don't find that too often.
Brian Kelly said that they will be, for this next week, they're fine-tuning the quarterback situation, probably try to nail down a few more of those passing patterns for Wimbush, and then also figure out the wide receiver rotation here in this current week of fall camp. So according to that, we'll know who, and let's talk about the wide receivers, because it's a little unclear where Steverson fits into it. And every time Brian Kelly talks about wide receivers since this fall, he's talked about Cameron Smith and Freddie Canteen as guys that are mature and understand the offense. Maybe not both of them, but
Freddie, their names always get mentioned.
Cameron Smith, you know, knowing the offense. And so are you buying this, Randall? Because I wasn't buying it. I thought this was just... Maybe, and Brian Kelly did say they will lean on these guys in the fall, so I expect them to play, but I thought it was more about motivating the other guys on the roster, probably especially Kevin Stefferson.
Well, I do believe it about Cameron Smith, because they talk about these new plays, implementing new stuff with the quarterbacks, and Cameron Smith has played with wide receiver coach Del Alexander and with
Chip Long
at Arizona State. So he knows this offense. And so he has a head start on all the other guys. And so right now that's definitely helping him out a lot. We'll see what happens once the other guys catch up with him. But he's a veteran and he knows this offense. And I think he's actually going to play. Freddie Canteen, I'm not so sure about. I think he's going to be that veteran guy that they have, but won't see the field that much. That's kind of my gut feeling. But the whole wide receiver situation, I'm still not convinced that Stefferson is going to play this. There's something up with that.
I think,
and he keeps mentioning all these other guys they brought in. There is something going on with Stefferson, and I don't think it's just being in the Brian Kelly's doghouse. I don't.
Well, Brian Kelly keeps on referring to last year. I played talent over guys who paid attention to detail or had grit or whatever the thing is he wanted them to be. And just as we were talking before the podcast, I thought, well, maybe he's not talking in general about the whole team. Maybe he's talking specifically about Kevin Stefferson, because he was a freshman last year and he did play a significant amount. I mean, he was second on the team with receiving touchdowns and was out on the field a lot.
Well, here's the thing. He's with Stefferson. He doesn't seem very involved. We saw that in the spring, even during the spring game where they had to yell at him to get out onto the field. So he's not ready to go. And even now there's reports of him standing on the sideline. Everybody else is waiting, ready to go, helmets on, you know, what's next? And he's standing in the back with no helmet on. Something, he's checked out for some reason. We've talked about this after the spring. He's checked out. Either he hates football. I can't imagine that Saturday he wouldn't be that talented. I mean, he's good at football. And was it last Tuesday, the first practice, he made a one-handed grab that was amazing. I mean, it was spectacular. And he makes, when the few reps that he's out there, he makes big plays. But he's not out there in 11 on 11s, and he gets few reps with, you know, one-on-ones.
And
there, with that talent, he is one of the best receivers on the team.
He is. That's what I was going to say. But Brian Kelly also said, you know, these guys who might not be showing some of these traits, you know, they still have time to climb the depth chart. And I after the spring and during the winter and after the spring, I was totally with you. There's something wrong. But we never heard anything. And he's still on the team. And Brian Kelly hasn't said that, oh, yeah, he's not going to play this year. And so at this point, I just thought, well, he's going to be eligible to play. And that maybe it was just... I don't know.
The oddest thing is that it seemed like you had good depth of wide receivers, and Notre Dame brings in two wide receivers. He's still with the third team, if that. And we said that would probably be one of the main topics this week. And if Brian Kelly is saying all this stuff in press conferences to try to motivate Kevin Stepherson, they might have to get Stepherson some hearing aids because he's obviously deaf. I mean,
well. And if the truth is that he isn't paying attention to detail, and what that could mean, to me, that means he's not going to be effective as a wide receiver. He'll make some great plays, but he'll also probably be the reason that some plays don't work if he doesn't know what route he's supposed to run or if he's bumping into another receiver or whatever. And that can cost you points. And so if it is true that, yeah, he doesn't know what he's supposed to do, and he's not paying attention, then fine, he shouldn't play, even if he is able to make incredible catches and is one of the fastest guys on the team.
It's beyond the point that he's in the doghouse because he got arrested last night. It's not that. He's not paying attention, which is totally on him, or there's something else is going on that they might not let him play. But yeah, it is a very odd situation. But with the wide receiver, I mean, Cameron Smith was running with the first team on some of the on Saturday. It looked like it was EQ, Cameron Smith, and then Chase Claypool at slot. It's kind of different having the big guy at the slot. We're used to thinking of slot as a small guy. And then, you know, the other guys. We haven't heard as much about Miles Boykin like we did in the spring, but he's still, I mean, it sounds like he's been a consistent receiver.
Again, kind of the forgotten man halfway through last year is CJ Sanders.
I know. You don't hear much about, and
I did see one of the videos, highlight videos, that he caught a nice, had a catch, and, you know, he's...
Well, I think him and Chris Fink are basically the same, are kind of the same type of football, or player. Size and speed and whatever, and I think Fink is kind of taking away some of his reps. So, Chris Fink is doing good things. I mean, he's being a consistent player, and I don't know. Some days it seems like the wide receivers are very talented, and, well, look at Stepherson and EQ were in the top 30 in the country and for the Pro Football Focus rankings, but yet this seems like a muddled mess right now. But a lot of it has to be because they're still implementing a lot of plays and stuff, and they're still learning. So
I think we'll know after this week.
It's just the first week.
After this week, like Brian Kelly said, they're going to figure out the wide receiver. I think we'll know a lot more about where Stepherson is. And the longer it goes, the harder it is for him to climb from being the third guy to being, you know, in the two deep.
Well, when Brian Kelly was asked about freshmen standing out, Michael Young and Jafar Armstrong were the two true freshmen that stood out. And you wouldn't have expected that with this group of wide receivers.
No.
But Michael Young is making plays. He's running past defensive backs. I mean, these guys are ready to go, and they, you know, they're standing out. They can maybe get some. Kevin Stepherson,
you know,
got playing time as a freshman.
When Brian Kelly mentioned Armstrong and Young, he said that they're mature. And that's also the word. That's what he's been
it
using.
It seems
too,
like
to,
everything
to
is talk, a jab at Stepherson.
That's also what he's been saying about Canteen and Smith.
Maybe we need to get Brian Kelly and Stepherson some couples counseling or something. But it is just it's an odd situation. But
I want to see Stuverson play because
I do too. But there's guys that are
great talent.
There's guys that are ready to step up and take his place.
Yeah. Okay, tight ends. Alzi Mack suffered a grade one hamstring. Brian Kelly didn't seem too concerned about this. I'm concerned about it because hamstrings, they're nagging injury.
Yeah.
So I think he'll be, and I'm sure they will. They'll probably play it safe, keep him out plenty long. I just want him fully healthy for Temple.
I'd say right now, be more excited about him not playing than if he's out, or not practicing than if he's out there practicing.
Yeah.
But it sounds like the odd thing is, as much as we've heard about the tight ends and two tight end sets and whatever, the tight ends are not being used much. And which it comes back to implementing plays. Maybe they just haven't gotten to that point yet.
We saw it
but
so much.
But the one tight end that's been making catches is Nick Wisher.
We saw it so much in the spring game that I wouldn't have thought that Kelly would play games and try to hide certain things from the media because the media is not there for every practice. But the thing is, too, there's 5 days of installation, and so the day they might have been there might mostly have been just a certain personnel set.
Well, here's my thing. The tight ends are more experienced than what the wide receivers and running backs are. I mean, you got to get reps for those guys. I mean, Nick Wisher, Durham Smythe, Alizé Mack. I think I might have been saying Jones earlier. Still hard to say. Alizé Mack. Those guys all know what they're doing. I mean, they've been around for a couple of years. When you look at wide receivers, there's a lot of young guys in the rotation, new guys, you know, transfers. They're trying to figure that out. With the running backs, you have Josh Adams, but you're trying to figure out, you know, Tony Jones hasn't played. So I'd say out of, you know, the three playmaking or the three groups, tight end may be the last thing you try to implement. But they are blocking. It sounds like the freshman tight ends are very good at run blocking, so which is a very good thing to hear from a freshman tight end. It seems like the freshmen always have to learn, tight ends always have to learn how to block. But to hear that they're doing so well at blocking is a very positive thing.
Offensive line, anything there you wanted to talk about?
It sounds like Alex Bars is looking very good. Alex Bars and Sam Mustafa are kind of starting to catch up with Nelson and McClinchy, and that's good to know. You got two potential first round picks there, and the other two guys are catching up with him. The right tackle, that's obviously still up for grabs. Even got some freshman in there taking some reps. Robert Hainsey has been looking very good. So he's a guy that they're saying he can maybe play as a freshman. So it's Eichenberg, Kramer. I kind of expect Kramer to win that spot. That's who's been taking the reps so far. But we'll see what happens. But offensive line is looking pretty
Hainsey's
good.
Hainsey's not going to play. I don't know why they would burn a redshirt on him even at if it would be a blowout game. I don't know why they would burn a red shirt on him. And he's not going to beat out Kramer and Eichenberg at the right tackle.
He's right there with him right now.
Unless there's an injury, he's not going to play.
Well, they prefer he doesn't play, so.
Chip Long talked about tempo a little bit.
The running backs.
Oh. Well, yeah, the running backs. Is there anything more to say?
Well, it looks like Dexter Williams is number three right now. Poor guy, can't seem to catch a break. But Tony Jones Jr. is still impressing everybody. He has been ever since he's gotten to Notre Dame. They got him his red shirt last year, which, in my opinion, if he's that good, running back isn't going to stay for a fifth year, so why burn the red shirt? But so that's why I'm still holding back a little bit on
been,
the hype.
He must have been one of the guys that was paying attention to detail.
Yeah.
So he was held out.
Yeah. But right now it looks like Tony Jones Jr. is right behind
Josh Adams.
So, and Dexter Williams. All three of these guys are going to get reps, and it's bad that there's three guys.
I'm excited to see more of Tony Jones Jr. because
he's running over guys. It seems every practice he ran over another guy or two. He seems to always make the first guy miss, and if the second guy gets in the way, he'll run over them.
But Josh Adams is healthy, bigger, faster, and stronger than he was last year. And healthy. This is a key point there. So Chip Long was asked about tempo, and he said that they're teaching the guys and implementing more tempo, and that they definitely will use it when the game dictates it. So nothing really new there, just...
Yeah.
Anything more from the offense?
Well, it seemed like they struggled a little bit in some of these reps, in some of these practices, but it is the first week, and the team did get off on Sunday. I guess that's a new rule the NCAA has implemented, that the teams get Sunday off. So last year they had 11 straight practices, 11 days with the practice every day. So they got a break on Sunday, and I think that's a good idea. Just helps rejuvenate them. And
I'm surprised.
You need some time off.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little surprised that they would have gone, I'm sure that they were watching activity and not overworking players, but I'm still kind of surprised that they wouldn't have had.
Well, all their GPS and stuff they have, it's crazy to hear them talk about that, because they'll notice that their heart rate goes way up, or they're working, they talk to the guys, make sure they're okay, and it's just crazy what kind of technology they got on those guys now. It's almost like a robot. But they are back at Notre Dame, and so they'll be practicing there this week. And you should definitely go out to the practice on August 20th, the open practice, Sunday.
It's on a Sunday.
I wonder how they got around that. I thought they were supposed to have off on Sundays.
Well, maybe it was just... I know he said it's a mandatory off day on Sunday, but he might just have meant that first one. Was it Brian Kelly who said that?
Yeah. I'm not sure how that works.
I know he mentioned Sunday, but it must just be maybe after 5 days they need a day off or something like that.
Never mind. I was trying to think when that would be once they start practicing for the season, like Temple, but they wouldn't be at that point yet.
But yeah, definitely. Well, I'm really excited about
people
that.
A lot of people don't know about it.
Really?
I've mentioned it to people around here. They're like, what? You can go to one of the practices? I'm like, yeah, August 20th.
I've got a handful of friends that are going.
So if you guys are there, we should definitely meet. I know some of the guys on the forum were talking about being there. Definitely show up. I think they'll be... I mean, they want to kind of run through it as a game day, like the Blue Gold game or something. And I think they'll be a good practice because they don't want to waste a practice.
And you'll get to see the Jumbotron being used.
Yeah.
So, and I think it's on that day you can get tours of the stadium. It was either that day.
Well, they're already doing tours. I mean, they might be doing that day, but they have started doing tours again.
Okay.
So, some other news, NFL news from Notre Dame. Well, Will Fuller broke his collarbone and is out for, like, I think they said 2 to 3 months. So that kind of hurts him. Last year he had nagging injuries as well, so the injuries are kind of piling up for him. But
Notre Dame strength and conditioning is catching up to him.
Yeah. Then the other guy, Sheldon Day, was on Bleacher Report twice last week. The first one was definitely a negative play. They had the sled with a tackling dummy on it, and as he came out of his stance, he's on the one side and completely wiped out. Like, went flying past the sled and the coach standing on the sled. And so it's kind of a rough day for him. But then the other one was definitely a highlight, going up against Leonard Fournette coming out of the backfield, and he stuffed him in the backfield and just crushed him, basically wiped him out. And it was interesting to see that some of the comments were like, oh, this reminds Leonard Fournette of playing Alabama or whatever. Like, that's a Notre Dame guy you're talking about there. So... Anyways, it's good to see him out there making plays.
I agree. And this fall, we'll be keeping track of Notre Dame's transfers and Notre Dame's players in the NFL as well. All right, Randall, that's all I've got. Anything more from you before we wrap up?
I don't think so.
Okay, guys, check out the forums, forums.irishsportstalk.net. If you have something you wanted to discuss or share, you can leave it there or tweet at Irish Sports Talk, and we'll be sure to make note of that. Thank you guys for listening, and until next time, go Irish.
Go Irish.